Okay, so God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. We're doing this in 3 weeks because I have a shorter attention span than God. So last week we launched into this three-part series about how we can use the creation story in the first chapter of Genesis to bring order to the chaos of our own lives, to create our experience. So it says, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. I warned you it would be heavy-duty metaphysics. Part of Unity's core curriculum is a class called The Creative Process in the Bible. And it is 10 or 12 hours, so believe me, I'm just hitting the high points. But it's important because the creative process is going on whether we're aware of it or not. This is how we co-create with God. We are the creators of our own experience, and the more consciously we can create, the better. So in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And the light is exactly that. It's illumination, awakening, realization. It's not even an idea yet. It's awareness of our creative power. And it's where we begin any creative endeavor, centering ourselves in the light, the divine light that we are made of. The Sufi poet Hafez said, all the talents of God are within you. How could this be otherwise when your soul is derived from his genes? Augustine said, God is a circle whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. That means you are the center of God. So yes, you can claim you are the center of the universe. See, you knew it. You tried telling your mother, didn't you? I did. Another way to put it is that God is equally present everywhere, the energy that we call God. And you are a point of consciousness within infinite mind. So instead of God in us, which is there, think of us in God as well. Each of us a point in the ocean of all that is. And so is Jesus, the prophets, every great person you can think of, a point of God in infinite mind. The divine revelation that they shared with the world was not something bestowed on a few people a long time ago. Your own awareness is just as valuable. And we may know more now than they did then. Creation is an ongoing process. God said, let there be light. And we are the ones who carry it out as co-creators, shining our divine light on the earth. Our faith in this process is represented by day two, the firmament or firmness. It's a dome of stability surrounded by chaos. When God spoke, let there be, there was no doubt, no hesitation, only absolute faith, assurance that there would be. So step one was light, step two was faith. Step three today, how do we co-create with God? Use your imagination. Here's what happened on the third day. And remember, this is not history or science. It's a symbolic description of a creative process beyond the physical, metaphysical. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. The dry land is imagination. Flowering and growing, yielding seed of every kind, proliferating with ideas, the mental images of what's possible. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, who came up with this system about the creative process roughly 100 years ago, said, "Everything that is manifested was first a mental picture and was brought into expression by the forming power of imagination." He called it the law of divine imagery. The seas, by the way, are still unformed as opposed to dry land. You know the expression, being at sea? It's when you're confused, you don't know what to do, you have not yet imagined a better way. Imagination allows us to see what could be instead of what is. Figments of your imagination are a good thing. A figment is something made up in mind. What if no one ever had a figment in imagination? There would be no art, no music, no inventions, no discoveries, no pioneers. Visionaries see what could be. Imagination also keeps us from living as victims. Without it, you're just at the mercy of whatever happens to you. But humans can imagine something different. Which brings us to an important point. What are you going to use your imagination for? A lot of us use it to worry. To awfulize. If you think you have no imagination and you're not creative, just remember all the things you've worried about. That's imagination too. Most of our stress we inflict on ourselves through thought alone. Our Tuesday book group has been reading Martha Beck's book, Finding Your Way in a Wild New World. She says if you can't explain your problem to a pet, you don't really have a problem. Not right now, not in this moment. If you need words to explain your problem, then the problem is only in your imagination. It's worrying about what might happen or what did happen. But it's not happening now. Your dog knows if you're in pain or sad or being attacked. If your dog can't see or feel your problem, it's your imagination. I'd like to argue with her about that, but I'm afraid she's right. What that means is worry and fear and anger are a choice. We can choose what to think about and how to think about it. Henry Kaiser, an industrialist who built ships, he did Kaiser Aluminum, Kaiser Steel, Kaiser Permanente. He said, "It is just as easy to see yourself as a success as it is to see yourself as a failure, and far more interesting." Our imaginations have power. Whatever we hold in consciousness shows up in our reality. This is familiar territory for Unity, saying that we manifest by focusing on what we want. But we're still learning how that works, we humans. We're realizing it's not just taping a picture of the sports car to the bathroom mirror. It's not listing everything we want and waiting for it to show up. Because when it doesn't, or if it doesn't, we'll decide the law doesn't work and the universe is just random after all and we have no say in anything. We do have creative power. But most creations happen at a level where we don't routinely go. The universe is responding to our energetic vibration. And that vibration is set up by our deepest desires, what our souls want. So the best manifestation happens when we surrender personality to soul, small self to higher self. Teachings about imagination and creativity have been showing up for me everywhere lately. Everyone I read, not just Charles Fillmore, but Eric Butterworth and Martha Beck, Wayne Dyer, Michael Beckwith, Matthew Fox. Matthew Fox said, "Creativity and imagination are so important to human beings that they are survival mechanisms. They're the essence of who we are." What a lot of them say is imagination, or call it visioning, is not just thinking up whatever you want to happen. It's not brainstorming. It is feeling into infinite mind to discern what wants to happen. I'm working on this. Michael Beckwith calls it catching the vision. He says Spirit is already at work everywhere, and our job is to find out what's happening and join with it. He talks about that especially in terms of church. What is Spirit already doing here? What wants to happen? The vision is still coming from within as well. It's connecting with your higher self's plans or your true desires to fulfill your soul's purpose. But it's also expanding consciousness into infinite mind, the universe. The Australian Aboriginals call it the everywhen. It's reaching for a larger vision. What wants to happen is not the same as God's will, in that it is not something being imposed on you that you'd rather not do. And it's not predestination. We always have choices. I think of it like launching a little boat into a river that's already flowing. So for me, there is a current of spiritual awakening going on in the world. My work can be a part of it. So I launch my little boat into that stream. There are currents of art and music and technology. The rivers are already flowing. So we just ask, what is mine to do? Seeking what wants to happen is consciously choosing to cooperate with the higher self and its co-creation with the universe. And what a relief to join up with what already is going on instead of having to think it up and decide what's best by myself. To create from deepest desires and highest consciousness, instead of just trying to manifest today's bright idea. It's like spreading your wings to be lifted by the wind. The power is in the wind. So there's more. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Evening and morning just mean another day, another step in consciousness. Signs and seasons, days and years are different stages of unfolding. We are in a creative process like a rose blooming. In Fillmore's system of metaphysics, the sun represents understanding and the moon is will. And notice, every one of these steps in creation we've talked about requires one of these 12 powers that are on our quilts around the room. These powers are divine attributes that are hardwired into every human being. So we started with light, or wisdom. We had faith, then imagination, and now understanding and will. Will is back there. It's my favorite. I love the blues in that quilt. But understanding and will have to go together, because understanding is just that. It's knowing how. You've imagined something, now you understand how to bring it about. But will is actually getting it done. Understanding isn't enough by itself. It needs will to carry out the project. And will can't rush into action without understanding where to go and what to do. And these are steps we don't talk about often. I think I always want to skip straight from imagination to done. Manifested. But we understand how to go forward, and we summon the will to carry it out in our three-dimensional physical world. It's not willpower. It's not gritted teeth and white knuckles. It's willingness to cooperate with the divine flow and take action as guided. Even spreading your wings to be lifted by the wind is taking action. So you hear there's no stress, there's no worry, no insistence that something happen. It's let there be allow it to unfold with perfect faith that it will. The kingdom of heaven is within, complete, which means it's done before we ask. And that's the other idea that's been pelting me lately, that what we want, what we pray for or imagine or want to manifest, whatever we envision, is already here. Jesus said that. You've heard me say that, but I'm finally getting it. And I heard it described recently in a new way called the law of polarity. I've never heard about the law of polarity within unity. I wrote a book about spiritual laws. Never heard about the law of polarity. But I Googled it, and apparently half the world has been working with the law of polarity. We might resist it because it sounds dualistic, but it isn't. The law of polarity says everything has an opposite. Hot and cold, dark and light. There is a part that you see or experience, and there is an equally strong opposite that you don't. So if you have a problem, its opposite is already here. So when you're looking at a problem, say this is the problem, the solution is on the other side. It's right here. It's already here. You just can't see it from where you're sitting. It's like the dark side of the moon. But it's here. It's already complete. And I got it. Oh, this is absolute oneness. This is why we say it's done before you even ask. This is why we say every possibility exists in the quantum field and you get what you focus on. Shift your perspective. Use your imagination to envision the opposite of the problem, where everything has worked out. Focus on that and know that it's already here. So, in the creative process so far, the light has dawned. We have faith that whatever we wish to create is already here. We can imagine what it will be like. We begin to understand what's involved in bringing it about, and become willing to take action as guided. Notice how all this is happening in consciousness. You can sit on the sofa and co-create with God. Eventually you'll take some action, but everything happens in consciousness first. And think about that, because this is huge. We get to participate in God's creative activity. This is Matthew Fox in his book called Creativity, talking about the process of co-creation. He says, imagination brings about not just intimacy, but a big intimacy, a sense of union with the cosmos, a sense of belonging and being at home, of knowing that we have not only a right to be here, but a task to do as well while we are here. The energy of love and intelligence we call God is perfecting itself through what it has created on earth as it is in heaven. We are carrying out God's ongoing creation with every thought and every image that we hold. So let's meditate on that. We meditate by simply relaxing. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to breathe deeply. Mostly, meditation is a time of remembering. Remembering that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Remembering that we are never separate from the creative source of all that is. And remembering we too are creators. That incredible power of creation that hung the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky, the power that separated the land and the seas and grows all the plants and the flowers and the fruits and the trees, that power is the power we use to create as well. We create artistically, but we create in every facet of our lives. We create the love that we offer. We create the experiences we share. We let there be divine power, divine love, divine creativity flowing through us, expressing as us. So take a moment just to go within and connect with that divine part of you, that higher self that knows why you're here and what you need, and is attracting it to the extent that you allow. You are the creator of your experience, but you never do it alone. Your higher self is at work. The whole cosmos supports you. This is an ongoing effort between the creator and the created. So you don't have to think up what is best. Just feel into it. Catch the vision of what wants to happen through you and let there be. And so it is. Amen.